There seems to be a decided interest in Rosicrucianism springing up among Masonic students. The mystery of the Rosy Cross, as it is more generally known, is apparently becoming more mysterious. The terms Rosicrucian and Brother of the Rosy Cross are in reality synonymous, but the first term often intimates a reference to the order itself, while the second connotes a relationship to the Rose Croix, now the 18th degree of the Scottish Rite of Masonry. This revival of interest manifests itself every few years with added zest, and is caused, usually, by a new investigator appearing upon the horizon with new, or at least more, facts, combined also with the ascertained activities within the modern Rosicrucian societies. Lately, I have perused several important writings containing opinions on the existing complex and conflicting data related to this obscure subject. These show, to my own satisfaction at least, that the history of Rosicrucianism and Freemasonry has a common spiritual descent, a common mystery, and at one time, during the early years of the two movements, had a common motive. The mere mention of the word Rosicrucian in occult circles immediately produces an atmosphere of awe. Individuals who are the most sound logicians in every other branch of research almost without exception begin to float on air, and, for the most part, enjoy it as soon as the subject is broached. As Arthur Edward Waite has said, "Perhaps there has never been a realm of inquiry which has been colonized to such an extent by fools and knaves of speculation. If there has been one other, it is that which adjoins with no intervening boundary, I mean emblematic Freemasonry." The reason for this condition is not difficult to see. It is a condition of mind, resulting from the perusal of the many works on the subject by the great students who have written so deeply and voluminously on not only the subject of Rosicrucianism itself, but also on the outstanding men and, in a few instances, the women involved in the manifold workings of the Order of the Rosy Cross. It would almost seem that every person of note as an occult scholar from the year 1500 to 1800, and possibly further, has been in some manner connected with the Order. Independent schools of, or allied to, Rosicrucianism have developed an individual literature portion to each school, thus complicating the development of a system rather than clarifying it. Says Waite, "The great spiritual symbolism which has come down to us through several houses of tradition is not, I think, communicated in a plenary sense by any one school. It is rather the harmony of all." A sentence once written in the 13th century by that unsurpassed thinker, Roger Bacon, can be applied very pertinently to Rosicrucianism. He said, "The subjects in question are weighty and unusual. They stand in need of the grace and favor accorded to human frailty. For I am speaking of the sophistical authorities of the irrational multitude, men who are authorities in an equivocal sense, even as the eye carved in stone or painted on canvas has the name but not the quality of an eye." The eminent English mystic Waite, already quoted, says further, "The touchstone is always life, and for this reason antiquity per se is not a test of value. There would be no hidden mystery of the Rosy Cross if it had not suffered successive transmutations, adjusting a change of venture to a new heart of motive. I think, indeed, that it has died many times and has been as often reborn, even a little nearer to the heart's desire." Anderson, whose Book of Constitutions was first published in 1723, gives a source for Masonic origins of which many subsequent writers have availed themselves down to the present day. The representations made by these good brethren of early days do not bear critical analysis in some respects, in spite of the fact that we do not question their motives nor the sincerity of their beliefs.